Whoa. I love it when God meets with us. That's a blessing. I think I'm going to skip a lot of the introductory formalities, you know, maybe, you know, try to tell you some, you know, maybe a couple funny things, but I think we'll just go ahead and skip that. I do want to say that the reason I ask that is I get back into St. Louis tomorrow night at 9:30, then I drive 2 hours home, preach all day Sunday, and then Monday morning I leave for camp for Texas. So between now and next Friday night, I'm preaching 14 times. So it's going to be a very busy week for this fat boy. And at least one of those times I get to preach to the deaf. So I'll be preaching deaf one time, so I get to rest my voice a little bit there. And if you're wondering why, by the way, how many of you have never heard me preach before? How many of you have never heard? Oh, good, fresh meat. I do like to see some fresh meat. That's a blessing. Let me just tell you just a little bit about myself. I am going to skip a lot of stuff and get right to the message because there's a lot of fun things we got going on. But let me just say real quickly, Brother Derek leaned over to me just a little bit ago and said, what were we doing as teenagers when we were on a Friday night? How many of you just got out of school this week or last week or something? And I appreciate Brother Derek bringing this up. I want to thank you for being at this teen rally on a Friday night. Because a lot of your friends, how many of you public school kids again? I'm a public school kid, born and raised. Well, I was born in a hospital, but grew a public school kid all my life. And a lot of your buddies are doing things tonight, and you know it's not good what you just saw. So praise the Lord you got to be here tonight and see that. But I was privileged to have been born into a home with deaf parents. My mom and dad are deaf. My sister's deaf. My grandparents are deaf. My great-grandparents are deaf. So I'm a fluent sign language user. Anybody here know sign language? It's always neat to ask. Oh, there's a few of you that know sign language. Good. But I always like to brag on God for that because it was a blessing that God allowed me to be born in a deaf home. And my wife and four kids all are fluent in sign language, and they'll be going with me to camp next week, and they usually sing, and I sign the songs. Maybe I'll sign a song tomorrow so y'all can see or something. But anyway, I love teenagers. I got saved at 18 years old. I was 18. I was an all-state football player, won some state championships, got recruited by schools like Penn State University. But God saved me and changed my life. And I've been pastoring for 17 years now, and young people, I can tell you, like Brother Tony already preached tonight, there's nothing better than serving the Lord. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. Nothing better than serving the Lord. And I do want to mind the time in the Lord. I rarely preach longer than 30 minutes, so y'all good with that? And the more amens I get, the quicker I go. So that'll be good right there. So, yes, yeah, see, y'all like that, huh? How many of y'all hungry? I mean, let's be honest tonight. I mean, there's going to be food. And so that's another good thing. You put hamburgers and hot dogs after a fat preacher, I'm going to be getting busy in just a little while. So I'll let you stay seated. I usually like to have you standing for the Word of God, but I'll let you stay seated tonight so we don't have too much disruption. We'll get right into this message. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. I love the 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus because it's the great man of God, Paul, writing to two young preachers in three epistles. And I started pastoring at 22 years old, less than 4 years after I was saved. And I never was an assistant, never was a youth pastor, just went straight to pastoring. And just 2 weeks ago, celebrated my 17-year anniversary. I'm 39, so I turned 40 this year at the Big 4-0. And I love this youth conference because I'm actually the youngest speaker on the platform here this week. So that's a blessing to me. My birthday's August 28th. You can write that down. August 28th. That's my birthday. August 28th. Write that down. I turned 40 years old. I want you to look at verse number 12 here. The Bible says this. Here's what Paul told Timothy, led of the Spirit of God. He says this simple statement, fight the good fight. Isn't that interesting? God actually calls a fight good. It seems like most of the times when you hear about a fight, it's in the negative light. But there are some good fights. There are some fights that are worth getting into. And the Bible tells us, he gives us a command. And the command is about a particular fight, and then it tells us what the fight is about. And it says here, fight, that's the command, the good fight, don't fight the bad fights. There's a lot of bad fights out there. You know what I'm talking about? It's a bad fight to fight over a boy right now as a teenage girl because only 3% of people marry the people they know from high school. It's a bad thing for teenage guys to fight over one teenage girl in the youth group. And I know what you teenage girls think. Oh, he's such a hunk right now. He will be a chunk someday. Can I get an amen right there? Gravity is true. He gets furniture's disease. His chest will fall to his drawers. Can I get an amen right there? So, but he's so cute and he loves me. He doesn't know the first thing about love. He loves pizza and hamburgers right now more than he loves you. I know I did when I was 16 years old. I mean, I like girls and I went after girls and liked girls and I was a football star, but you know, I mean, I like to eat cheeseburgers with the girlfriends, amen. So that's not a good fight. There's a lot of fights. Fighting with your parents is not a good fight. Fighting with your youth pastor is not a good fight. But there's some things that are good fights. I have a weakness. I have a weakness when people cut me off on the highway and I feel like I want to fight. My wife always tells me, that's not a good fight. And I always tell her, you hush your mouth and just mind your husband, amen. But that's not a good fight. I'm preaching at myself right now, I'm meddling, amen. But God says there's a good fight tonight. Fight the good fight, and he says, of faith. Then he says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want to preach briefly on the subject tonight of stay in the fight, the good fight. Stay in the fight, the good fight. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for what we've already heard. We could have really shut the services down. I felt like almost the big preacher showed up. You, God. Lord, I want to mind you tonight. I want the message just to be a blessing and an encouragement. Thank you for the message we already heard from Brother Shirley. Thank you for Brother Haglund, his wife, speaking in the split sessions. I pray you bless tomorrow. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, especially, Lord, tonight, for those two precious souls that have already been saved. And Lord, if somebody does not know you as their Savior, may they be saved tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, there is such thing as a good fight. I love the military. I thank God for the military. I never was privileged to serve in the military. In fact, I want to do this real quickly. If you've ever served in the military or are, would you stand up over the building real quickly? If you have been in the military, go ahead and stand up. We usually have a few. Wow, that's rare that we don't. There's some in the hallway out there. Okay, thank you, preacher. Go ahead and give them a hand. Oh, they can tell them later what they're clapping about. Amen. How about this? Are you a wife? Are you a wife? Have you been a wife of somebody that's in the military? Is there a wife in here that was married to a veteran? All right, we got one right here. All right, give her a hand. Praise God for that. We forget the wives a lot of times. And they're the ones that have to deal with missing anniversaries and missing birthdays and all those. And by the way, let me just say this. Our military fights good fights. And I'm thank God for all the wars that they have won to keep us free so I can preach on this Friday night up here in Michigan. Praise God for that. That's a good fight. But tonight I want to get into the subject of teenagers. We need you to fight some good fights. I mean, I don't think I need to spend a lot of time on it, but this week in our country, our president praised somebody who thought he was a man, but now he thinks he's a woman, and now I guess it's an it. And I'm not trying to be mean or crude here, because that person needs Jesus. He needs help. And our country, as the United States of America, endorsed that behavior. As a whole, our government, even the conservatives, are afraid to say anything. But can I tell you something? If God calls something good, then it's worth fighting for. And the home and marriage, biblical marriage, is good, so it's worth fighting for. The Bible, God's Word, is still true, and it's good, so it's worth fighting for. So I want to give you just a couple questions tonight to encourage you to keep fighting the good fight, because we love you, teenagers. And can I tell you something? You're not the future of America. You're the America right now and the future. I mean, you can make a difference right now in your school system, in the public school. You can make a difference in your Christian schools. You can make a difference even as a homeschooler. My kids are all homeschooled, and yet they're serving God. They'll be singing all over the summer at camps and conferences and leading people to Christ. You can start serving the Lord right now. But here's the number one question. It's a very simple question, because the Bible here says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, again, in verse number 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on. Next two words. Read it with me now. Here we go. Ready? Eternal life. Say it again. Eternal life. If there's such thing as eternal life, there's also such thing as eternal death. So I have a simple question for you tonight, young people. And we don't preach on it as much anymore. We don't talk about it as much anymore. In fact, we have strayed from this old-fashioned doctrine. But is there a hell tonight? Is there a hell that burns with fire tonight? Is there a literal hell, not just some place, not just some grave, not just some place people go to and they lay there for a while, not some purgatory, which is a halfway in between, where you got to go in for a little while until your sins get burned out and then you get to go to heaven? We're talking about a literal hell that Jesus Christ himself talked about tonight. Is there a hell tonight? We say yes, we act like we believe it, we preach about it, we sing about it, we testify about it, but very few of us are still fighting the good fight like there's a real hell. There is a real hell that burns with fire tonight, young people. And by the way, if you're not sure you're saved, you're on your way to that place called hell. You need to come to Jesus Christ tonight. I would not go to hell for anybody, because once you go to hell, you go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And there is no out. There is no release. There is no escape. There is no little break. There is no halftime. There is no water bottle break. There's nothing that will ever keep you out of the flames of hell once you get there. You will burn in hell forever and ever and ever. And young people tonight, we've got to get back to believing there's a place called hell. Here's the problem in America. We're not fighting the good fight of hell anymore because we're living like hell. We have too much sin in our lives. We have too much sin in our iPhones and our iPods and our iPads. And we've got too much sin in our conversations and in our texting. Young people, there's still a hell tonight. There's still a hell. Number two, real quickly, let me just say this. Is there still a hope tonight? Yes, glory, there's still a hope tonight. In fact, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1, the first verse of the first epistle that Paul writes to Timothy, he's going to use the word hope. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, he says, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Which is our hope. Can I tell you something tonight? I am so glad tonight that my hope does not depend on the government of the country. My hope does not depend on a company or business or the almighty dollar. My hope is dependent on the Son of God who came to this earth. He was virgin born. He walked in this earth. He never sinned one time. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for me. He defeated sin. He defeated the devil. He defeated hell and he defeated death. And Jesus Christ is still the hope tonight. He's the hope for the alcoholic. He's the hope for the druggie. He's the hope for the teenager. He's the hope for America. He's the hope for our Congress. He's the hope for our White House. He's the hope for your public school. He's the hope for every single thing in America. I've got good news for you tonight, young people. Jesus Christ is still our hope. Hallelujah. He's still our hope tonight. He's still our hope. I don't care what people say. I don't care how much they criticize the Christian movement. I spent 18 years as a lost person, and I'm fixing to spend 21 years as a saved person. And there's nothing better than being saved. There's nothing better than going to bed at night knowing that everything's all right in my Father's house, and knowing that God is still on His throne, and God's not nervous, and God's never said oops, and God's never said uh-oh. I've got good news for you tonight, young people. He is still the hope tonight. Is there a hell? Is there a hope? Number three, is there a hero tonight? In every battle, there's got to be some kind of a hero. I know everybody in America's crazy, and that's all about DC and Marvel, but I hate to break it to you tonight, young people. They ain't real. They ain't real. For some reason, everywhere I preach, people call me the Incredible Hulk. I wish I looked a little bit more like him, but I'm not the Incredible Hulk tonight. And trust me, you don't want to see me bust out of this shirt. Can I get an amen right there? But I got news for you tonight. There is a hero in this battle. In fact, the Christian life is a unique battle tonight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, look at this. It says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And look at this now. In verse number 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Can I praise his name for a little while tonight and tell you that the Hulk and Captain America and Thor and Iron Man and Spider-Man and Superman are all fictitious heroes that entertain our flesh, but there's a real hero tonight. He walked on water, he raised the dead, and he saved my soul, and he's still a hero tonight. Praise his name. Satan is a powerful foe. Satan hates you, young people. Satan wants to crush you. Satan wants to chew all of us out and spit us out. He wants to mock us. He wants us to fall and then expose us like he's done in recent news media with Christian families and made them look bad, and Satan cheers and he dances. Can I tell you something tonight? Man will fail you. I will fail you. We will all fail each other. But there's a Savior named Jesus tonight who is never going to fail you. He's the real hero tonight. I said he's the real hero. Boy, that's where the culprit. I said, he's the real hero tonight. Hey, Jesus stood in a fight ring one time, and he looked across the ring, and he saw death, and death had beat men for 4,000 years, and Jesus whooped death. And Satan had beat men down for 4,000 years, and Jesus whooped Satan. And hell had kept men down for 4,000 years, and Jesus beat hell. And bless his holy name, he's beat sin tonight. Hallelujah. I thank him tonight. He's a hero. Is there a hell, young people? Is there a help, young people? Is there a hero tonight? Two more things and I'm done. Number four. Is there a hop still tonight? See, what's that got to do with anything? Is there a hop? Well, first of all, it started with letter H, so I just threw it in there for fun. Hey, is there something worth hopping about tonight? Let me just encourage you Christians tonight, okay? There's a growing trend in America right now. It's spreading like a disease almost. It's called this poochy lip disease. Hang your head down. We've all been defeated. There's no hope for Christianity. I mean, ISIS is coming to America. The Muslims are taking over. The media is taking over. Can I tell you something tonight? We are on the winning side, my friend. And it's time that Christians get their hop back. When I say hop, I mean get your shout back. I mean get your excitement back. Get your joy back. Get your energy back. I mean we serve a risen Savior. Can I tell you something tonight, young people? All the religions of this world, there's one thing they're missing out on. There's a tomb they can, or a grave they can go visit. And their leaders are laying in some grave. But right now in Israel, there's two tombs. There's a fight over which tomb, Jesus. Did you know that? There's two tombs. You know what I love about that, Brother Shirley? If there's two tombs, that means there ain't nobody to prove which tomb is right. Can I get a witness right there? My Savior lives. I said He lives. I said He lives. I said He lives. He's worth fighting for. He's worth standing for. Young people, get your hop back. It's amazing what we get excited about in America nowadays. We get excited over a free bag of Doritos. We get excited over some new movie come out. We get excited about some new video game coming out. We get excited about our ball teams. And I'm not against everything that we get excited about. I get excited when my wife kisses me. Can I get an amen right there for the married folk? I'm saying not all the things we get. In fact, we having burgers tonight. That excites me right there. Can I get an amen right there? I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning. That means I burn a lot of calories. I'm hungry tonight. But can I tell you something, young people? Hallelujah. Hey, we've got something to get excited about. I'm a diehard Florida Gators fan, and they have not given me much to hop about the last few years. Their football team's been rough. Their basketball team didn't even make the tournament this year, and we lost our coach. But can I tell you something? My joy, my excitement, my energy doesn't depend on my ball team. It does not depend on who's sitting in the White House tonight. It does not depend who's sitting in Congress tonight. My joy and my salvation and my excitement and my hope and my energy and our happiness tonight has got to depend on Jesus Christ who lives tonight. That's worth another carload. Hallelujah. Thank God we can hop. Thank God we can shout. Thank God we can get excited. Thank God we can praise His name. And if there's a hop, it's worth fighting for tonight. I tell you, you go to average Baptist church nowadays, and listen, teenagers, I'm not trying to be mean here, but teenagers, y'all are a lot more exciting than a lot of these old folk I'm preaching to. I mean, it seems like nowadays they're handing out little glasses of vinegar to people as they walk in church. Here. And they sit in pew like they're all mad. A little girl asked me one time, why do you yell so much when you preach? I said, if you had to look at what I had to look at, you'd yell too. I'm telling you, it's time for the church to get its hop back. It's time for the church to get its shout back. It's time for the church and youth groups to get excited again. Hey, I'm telling you, you're a part of something big here tonight, young people. You're a part of a battle, by the way, that's already been won, church. Jesus won it on resurrection morning, hallelujah. We just got to keep on fighting these little battles because the war's over. Young people, get that hop back. And these conferences and camps are great. I know what happens. You get excited and fired up. Brother Shirley preached a great message. And Brother Derek's going to preach tomorrow. And we've had some great singing and testimonies. Praise God for all those things. But 2 or 3 weeks later, what happens? We lose that hop. Keep that hop. Keep that hop. Help me now. Is there hell? Help me now. Is there hell? 3 people believe it. Hey, is there hell? Hey, thank God we've been saved from hell. Number 2, is there still a help tonight? Or hope? Is there a hope tonight? Number 3, is there a hero still tonight? Number 4, is there a hop tonight? And finally, number 5, watch this now, and I'm just about through. Are you still holding on? Are you still holding on? One of the things I love to do, Brother Tony, is talk. I love all veterans, but especially those that have been to combat. And I've got some in my church. I've got some men that have seen things on the battlefield that I would not even say from this pulpit today. They've sat in my office, and they've wept, and they've cried. And I've asked them, why do you keep going back? And they say, because I love my country. because I want my kids to still have a free country. Because I want to stop those bad guys from coming over. In other words, you know what they're saying? I'm going to keep holding on to the flag. I'm going to keep holding on to my rifle. I'm going to keep holding on to the freedom that we have as Americans. Well, listen, can I tell you something tonight? Not too long ago, I was preaching somewhere, and there was an Air Force vet in the room. And he came up to me after church, and he said, "You brag on the soldiers tonight, I appreciate it." But he said, "Let me tell you something. You always say you can preach because of the soldiers," but he said, he said it goes full circle. We can still soldier because you keep preaching. And he said, "I'm calling the church out tonight. It's time for the church to stand up again." He told me that. He said, "Preacher, keep preaching. Keep standing. Keep holding on, young people. Don't let go. This is not the time to let go. This is the time to hang on tighter." Like the Old Testament talked about, those David's mighty men. Tony talked about already that. The hands clave to the sword. They hung on in battle. They didn't quit. They didn't back down. Hey, there's something worth holding on to tonight. In fact, the Bible says there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 19, holding faith. The Bible says again in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, lay hold on eternal life. That doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. You got to hang on to it because salvation's got us forever. Praise His name. But to live like you believe in it, to hang on to it, to not let go of it. And young people, tonight we've got to hold on to faith again. The fight is worth holding on to. I want to close by reading you one last little thing. There's a hell. There's a hope. There's a hero. There still needs to be a hop. And we still need to hold on. I am a part of a fellowship of the unashamed. I have over the line. Is this my... Just give me that pulpit mic. I'm almost done. Give me the pulpit mic. That'd be great. Am I good? There we go. I am a part of a fellowship of the unashamed. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few, but my God is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up, shut up, let up till I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Tonight, young people, there is a good fight. Keep fighting the good fight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over the building. I told you I wouldn't.